we head into the happy hour. We welcome you to it, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Of course, Tony's down at Petco Park. He and Jesse Agler will have the call. A little after 6:30 tonight, Padres taking on the Cleveland Guardians. Sammy Leavitt will have the pregame show. That starts at 5:40, so about 35 minutes from right now. Also today on the program, something a little new. He better be good at it, because Scraby has asked for there to be a change in the daily schedule. Since there is no Scraby Chronicles now on game day,
correct?
Scraby would like the Scraby segment.
Yes.
He's gonna. You're gonna boil down the entire hour of the Chronicles into one segment.
Don't know how I'm gonna do it, but we're gonna do it.
You're gonna give it a shot. The debut, the maiden voyage, as it were, of the Scraby segment is coming up in about 10 minutes.
And guess what, everybody? I'm gonna give a little preview. It's gonna be double daily gripe. Chris
double
is also going
daily,
to daily gripe.
Oh,
with
I got
me
a gripe as
on
well
these
today.
Days.
All right, we're both going to gripe. Happy Hour is brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball is back, and so is swim season. Call now. Mention the word radio and get a free month of pool service. Thank you to our friends at GL Pools for that. Big news today. Along with the Padres, trying to make it 5-0 this evening. By the way, if you're wondering, last year, June 28th was the first day of the season that the Padres were four games over 500.
Yeah.
March 30th this year. So they're a little ahead of last year's pace.
Just a little bit.
In terms of getting to four games over 500. Last year, when they won on June 28th, they improved their record to 45-41. That was the first time they'd been that high above the break-even point. So it's obviously been a great start to the season. The only other time in history that the Padres started 4-0, 1984.
It's a good year for them.
Yes, if you followed any history at all of the San Diego Padres baseball club, you know that 1984 was a special season. That year, Game 5... they would lose to the Chicago Cubs in 10 innings. You know what that tells me, Scrabe?
What?
That the Padres franchise has never been 5-0. Tonight could be the night.
Is that, I guess that's kind of uncommon.
I don't know. They've been around for over 50 years, so you would have thought maybe they would have had one 5-0 start.
That's exactly what I would have thought.
No, they never have. So we'll see if they can do it tonight. Jerickson Profar, though, is the big news today. A former Padre, fan favorite, popular in the clubhouse. Love everything about Jerickson. Don't love this. He tested positive for a banned substance. He has received an 80-game suspension from Major League Baseball. The substance that he tested positive for, by the way...
do we know what it is yet?
We do, and only some doctor out there is going to be able to pronounce this correctly, but I'll give it my best shot. Chorionic gonadotropin. Gonadotropin. Anyway, you get it. You get my point. It's not an easy one to
Can you spell gonadotropin?
Sure. Ghana, just like it sounds.
Yes, like it sounds like the country of Ghana?
Yeah, G-O-N-A. D-O-T-R-O-P-I-N, gonadotropin.
Gonadotropin.
Yeah, that. It's a hormone that helps in the production of testosterone, according to the Cleveland Clinic.
I did all that
searching just to find
what
that
it
out.
Was, and then you had it
and
in
then
front
I
of
told you.
You
what it was. Yeah. Profar saying, among other things, it is especially painful for me. Anyone who knows me, seen me play, knows I'm deeply passionate about the game. I want to apologize to the entire Braves organization, my teammates, fans. I would never knowingly do anything to cheat. Braves posted a statement as well. We were surprised and extremely disappointed to learn that Profar had tested positive. We fully support the program and are hopeful that Jerickson will learn from this experience. Mike Shildt was asked about it. I really like what Mike Shildt had to say.
Literally just found out before I got out here, and I loved Jurich and Profar no more or no less right now than I loved him an hour ago. I still love him, and, you know, I don't know the circumstances of the person it is, bro, and I love the guy.
That's all you need to hear from Mike Shildt on Jurich and Profar. That's all I need to know.
That's all he really says.
Well, it's what he should say. This Profar, I mean, did a lot for this organization last year. But like, I know there's many of you out there that are like, Chris, how can you possibly support a now known cheater? I don't know. Do you go out and root for Fernando Tatis Jr.?
Or I do.
Are you going to hold on to that for the rest of your days?
I think I've already forgotten about it.
It's up to all of you out there. But no, Profar, he, you know, this is not good. Not good. He's going to pay a very heavy price for it.
Yeah. 80 games unpaid, no postseason. That's all serious.
That's right.
Stuff.
He cannot play in the postseason if the Braves do make it.
Yeah. And that's like when Fernando got suspended. He actually, so if the Braves, I wonder, I would assume it's the same thing, but I wonder if the Braves go to the playoffs and play a bunch of games, is that going to take games off of Jurickson's quote unquote sentence?
Well, his sentence will already be over. Because 80 games is going to be done by then.
What a dummy I am.
You are so dumb.
That is
dumb.
The second time today
I cannot
I've been
believe,
a dummy.
You know, that and the bowling ball.
I thought
ball.
We were in June all of a sudden.
Yeah, that and the bowling ball comment about the bats that the Yankees are losing. I cannot believe I'm turning over an entire segment to you here in a few minutes.
The neurons aren't matching.
What could I possibly be thinking
here? The neurons are not matching up
My
here.
My goodness. NCAA Women's Elite Eight halftime. Top seed Texas. Leads number 2 seed TCU. Suffice to say, this is a defensive struggle, Scraby. 23-21 in favor of Texas. Later, UConn, USC will look to advance to the Final Four. Yesterday was South Carolina and UCLA. UCLA beat LSU.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I don't want to say it surprised me. UCLA had a great season, but it was interesting to see LSU get beat after watching them play in person and thinking, who could beat this team?
Seriously.
Well, UCLA is the answer to that question. So
Kim Mulkey must be upset.
She was asked if it was a disappointment to only reach the Elite Eight for the second year
question.
In a row. And she said, have you ever reached the Final Four? The guy said, oh, of course not. And she goes, well, then it's not that easy, is it? I mean, she's always a little combative.
She's right in this point, in this case. I
maybe
mean,
she was.
Don't ask dumb questions.
That was a dumb question. Agreed.
But what do you think she's going to say? Oh, you know what? I got extra time now. I can go hang
I'm so
out
happy
next
about
to the
it.
Pool.
So happy about it. Men's Final Four. If you correctly picked the Final Four this year, that tells me something about you. Because I don't know
you
that
auto-picked?
I
auto-picked?
Either you auto-picked or you just don't take any risks at all in life. Because I just cannot believe that you could fill out a bracket and pick all four number one seeds. Although that is what Jay Billis did, and I gave him nothing but grief for it. Bottom line is, that's how it turned out.
Yeah.
So I honestly, maybe it's just because I, you know, didn't pick this the way it turned out, but I find this to be the most boring NCAA tournament ever. I mean, just the seven of the final eight made it. Each of the final four made it. There has not been a lower seeded team win since the second round. The great thing about the tournament is upsets, Cinderella's, fun, overtime, classic games. I will say Texas Tech Florida was a pretty good game, but I felt bad because Texas Tech just blew that game.
Yeah.
They missed the front end of 2 1-and-1s,
yep.
And Florida was lucky to escape that game. The other three games were so bad that in the three games combined, Duke, Alabama, no lead changes. Houston, Tennessee, no lead changes. Michigan State, Auburn, one lead change.
Mm-hmm.
That's not exciting to somebody unless you're an Auburn fan or you're a, yeah. You know, Houston fan, fine. But if you're just watching the tournament, those are boring games.
The only thing that could save the tournament is for these last three games that they have, two Final Four games and then the championship.
To all go into overtime
all
or something. Yeah. And maybe they will be because you do have four great teams. I will say that. They're all left. Florida will play Auburn. Houston will play Duke.
I got to say, Cooper Flagg, did you know how young he is?
Well, he's a freshman, so I can't imagine
he's
too
old. I didn't realize that he was a freshman.
Oh, you didn't?
This dude is pretty incredible for being a freshman.
He's good.
You don't think he's incredible?
He's good. He's really good.
Okay.
Houston, by the way, watching their game, they remind me a lot of the Aztecs 2 years ago. They're not great on offense, but man, do they guard. And they get a lot of offensive rebounds, and they don't turn the ball over. They're not flashy, but they're going to be a tough out for Duke, even for Duke.
That Kevin Sampson really is good.
At Gonzaga? At Gonzaga?
Thank you for getting what I was saying.
Yeah, Kelvin Sampson, who loves to pronounce it the right way, Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
All right, traffic, and then the debut. Oh, my goodness, I can't wait for it. The new Scraby segment will close out the show today.
It's going to be underwhelming after we, all the promotion
we've
just
done. Well, I built
it
up, so you better come up with something on 97.3 The Fan. The word started to whisper out that Jerickson Profar was going to get nailed for an illegal substance and get a suspension. And that started getting tweeted out right around 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really out there in any mainstream.
No.
We started kicking it around. And, you know, I always hesitate to even refer to something that's only tweeted out. But unfortunately for Jerickson Profar fans and for Jerickson Profar himself, it's true. 80-game suspension for using PEDs. All right. I don't want to steal any more of his time.
Oh, you're not.
There's 10 minutes left in the program. And Gwen and Chris, from now on game days like this, where Sam Levitt takes over at 535, 540, the final segment of the show will be the Scraby segment.
Woo!
What kind of intro was that? I thought you'd have something lined up to give yourself a little fanfare. Play the crying emoji.
No, I'm not going to play the crying emoji. I'll play this.
All right. That's all you came up with?
Maybe I'll get some better music for next time. I honestly was thinking, what could we do with 520 today? You know what? I don't get a Scraby show, so we're going to do this. But
all right, what do you got, Scrab? What's on your mind today?
You know, I need a little music. I can't do this without music. I need some more music. But let's go with this first, Chris, and it's a local story that we did not talk about today, but sources are saying that New Mexico has agreed to a 5-year deal to make UC San Diego's Eric Olin the school's next head coach.
He led
UCSD to the NCAA tournament in the first year it's eligible. He's gone 51-17 the last 2 years and won the Big West this year at 18-2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why can't we criticize Eric Olin if we're going to criticize other coaches? I feel like...
What should I criticize him for? Leaving UC San Diego, which is a fledgling program for the greener pastures of New Mexico? Yeah, I'm not going to criticize this.
Really?
No, I'm not. This is a big step in the right direction for him. New Mexico... Now, the one thing with New Mexico, they're not joining San Diego State in the Pac-12. So New Mexico is going to be left behind in that regard.
In the mountain.
They're going to stay in the Mountain West, whatever's left of that. But I think New Mexico is a lot more established basketball than
totally
UCSD.
Is.
It could step them to the next one, too. Maybe this is the one that gets them to the next one. And plus, UCSD, they lose every one of their players. Their best three players are all graduate. They're all senior. A fourth guy's already transferred, four starter. So the Tritons turned in a memorable season for us.
And now they're going to go
probably,
back in the gutter.
I don't want to say the gutter. They never were in the gutter, Scraby. This is their first year, and they made it to the NCAA. They've never been in the gutter. Don't say go back.
So we got 1 year of fun in UCSD basketball?
Sounds like we got 1 year of fun, and it's going to be a complete total rebuild for somebody, yes. But I'm not going to begrudge Eric Olin for stepping up to this next level.
I'm not going to begrudge him, but there's something to me about being at this school, 15 years, 12 years, over 10 years, and building it up to the point where you get to become a Division I team and then you get into the tournament. I'm not seeing any money or anything out there, so I don't know what that is all about, but it would be something where I would want to keep building this thing. I could be the Mike Krzyzewski of UCSD.
UC San Diego?
You never know where UCSD is going to go.
I love how you say these things, but I cannot see you passing up this opportunity. New Mexico, man, this is all...
Put it in radio terms.
I don't have radio term at the moment. Well, getting your own show at another station.
Well, okay.
You're going to leave me high and
Am I going to New Mexico?
You're leaving me and Tony high and dry. But you're getting an opportunity to further your career.
That kind of sounds fun. Leaving you too high.
Maybe it wasn't a good comparison.
It would be like me getting my own show in Boise, Idaho.
All right. You wouldn't take it, huh?
I would have to think about that. Okay. Boise, Idaho is a much different place, but I get it. Basketball, he's got resources. They've got more of a budget.
They care about one thing there in New Mexico. That's
winning?
The Lobos. No, the Lobos.
Oh.
The one thing I wish for Eric Olin is I didn't have to, hate his team for the next couple of years.
Yeah, that's true.
But I will have to hate your team, Eric.
Clint Allard is going to replace him. UCSD was very quick in naming him the head coach. I believe he's been with the school for 11 seasons.
He's been right alongside, so yeah. It should be a seamless transition. But he does have some work to do because there's some really good players to replace there.
There are some really good players, yes. All right, the power rankings for baseball, Chris. Matt Snyder put them out. Now, last time we visited with Matt Snyder and his power rankings, the Padres were number 13. Am I seeing the score correctly? I'm sorry. This is shocking. Reds are winning 12-0 in the sixth inning over the Rangers. Rangers have one hit. The Reds have 13 hits. It's crazy.
That might be the first time in baseball history there's been a score like that.
I hate you.
Why are you so shocked?
Because the Reds, because the Rangers keep, everybody keeps saying, telling me the Rangers are going to be great.
They might be. I guarantee you, even the Dodgers will lose one game this year 10-0.
That's against the
law,
Chris.
At least one.
That's against the law.
All right.
Matt Snyder's power rankings. He had the Padres 13 moving into the season. Well, after a 4-0 start, he has them moving up 8 spots to number 5.
Wow.
And his thing is, since returning from catastrophic 2022, Fernando Tatis Jr. has been anywhere from pretty good to great. He has not, however, been the MVP-level performer many expected. That MVP-caliber season starts the way 2025 has started for him. So he's riding Fernando to the number 5 spot in the power rankings.
That's a big jump.
A huge jump. Mm-hmm. Huge jump. Now, did you hear about what happened with Mark Cuban over the weekend, Chris? He got into it on Facebook with a former employee, and he put out a huge response to this employee. So here's what the employee said. Gavin Malloy, former Dallas Maverick employee, on Facebook. Hey, Gavin, Gavin said, Cuban should be run out of Dallas, is what he posted. He used to be an employee, as I said. So Mark Cuban said, hey, Gavin, how much of a bonus did you get when I sold? And Gavin responds. But then Mark Cuban really takes it to a new level. He said, Gavin, you didn't say a word when it showed up in your account, did you? Sure looked good when we made it to the finals, didn't it? I did everything I could do for 23 years, kept prices lower than not only an NBA team, but lower than college teams. I had $2 tickets for multiple years. When I sold, there were always 4K tickets under $29. And he keeps going on and on and on and on and on. What I said when I sold the team. I didn't want my kids and family to have to deal with people like you. I honestly got tired of the growing number of fans who became pricks on social media.
Whoa! People, did you just say that?
You're not allowed to say that?
I don't know. I wouldn't think. That's a... No!
Really? I dumped it.
You can prick your finger, but you can't go the other way around.
Okay. I dumped it, so we're good.
Thank goodness.
I didn't know you couldn't say that word.
Whoa!
Honestly, I got tired of the number of fans who became bleeps on social media. People exactly like you. I paid your salary. I paid you a bonus. I didn't have to give you the Nico and the new owners do something none of us liked, and you decided to try to bleep with me. Thank you for confirming I made the right decision. All right. So Mark Cuban says a lot of things that we all want to say.
Yeah. And he's in a powerful enough position to say them.
Yeah.
So
why do
we like him?
No. What I really want to say is why does he want to protect his kids so much? Can't his kids make the decision to get into that stuff? He is saying that he sold the team so that kids did not have to take it over.
How many kids do you have?
I have zero.
No, you have one. And you would protect that dog against anything. This is normal human behavior.
But it's kind of weird, because they could grow up and he could be just ignore everybody on social media. That doesn't mean anything. And they can take over the team.
Parents are going to side with their kids, even to a fault, no matter what the situation is. Scraby, come on. I have no kids, and even I know that.
All right. I just thought it was kind of weird.
I don't think it's weird. I think it'd be weird not to defend your kids.
No, he is defending his kids, but to sell a team because you don't want your kids pestered by social media?
I just think he was tired of it all.
All right, real quick, Richard Sherman, before this gravy segment's going too fast for me. Richard Sherman got his house broken into, Chris, one more time. So he has video this time of people breaking into his house. And he said that his wife and kids were home during this break-in. And he praised his wife for looking out for the kids and keeping them safe and everything. But he has video of three guys busting into his house with guns, walking around. And Richard Sherman apparently wasn't home during all that. So more of those break-ins are happening at an alarming rate.
Scary. Indeed. We don't have a lot of time, and I know you want to get to your daily gripe. Does your daily gripe have anything to do with the Pelicans shutting down Zion Williamson the rest of the season?
No, but it should. It should.
I know how you love that guy.
What's annoying Scraby today?
Chris,
let's find out. It's time for the Daily Gripe.
All right. What you got?
Here's my daily gripe, and I know that it's kind of aggressive, but the other day, I was driving on the freeway, and this dude behind me, I was going 75, which is illegal, but this dude behind me was, like, right on my bumper. And I'm not even kidding. I couldn't even see the front of his car because he was that close. Mm. And so I tried to speed up a little bit. He sped up with me.
Yeah.
So then I tried to brake a little bit to try to get some, and he did not like that.
Then he got mad.
He got
so
real
he was tailgating
mad.
You, and then when you tried to get him to back off, he thought you were out of line.
Really mad, Chris. Yeah, yeah. Like, extremely mad.
I've
to the
had
point
people
where
do that. I've had people do
guess
it.
What? He pulled up next to me.
Okay.
I saw the look of crazy in his eyes.
Yeah.
And I slowed down so I can get away.
Don't you think the person had to be crazy just to be tailgating you that much in the first place and not even be aware of it?
Yeah.
I mean, just stay away.
Yeah, but to get mad at me for being like, hey, bro, you're too close.
People don't care about other people. That is something to totally gripe about.
Guess what, Chris? This story's not over.
Oh, he smashed into something and wrecked his car?
He tried to throw a water bottle at my car.
Oh. So, I mean, did he actually throw the water bottle?
He threw it out the
window.
It didn't hit my
car,
though.
So he didn't try to throw a water bottle. He did throw a water bottle.
He did throw a water bottle. And then, as I'm driving home, I had that clarity of, you gotta be more careful, bro. That could have been a gun. You don't know what. He could have crashed you.
I used to try the tap on my brakes thing until I found out the same thing you just did. The person you're tapping your brakes to is probably a lunatic in the first place to be tailgating you that
probably.
Close. So don't give them any reason to go lunatic on you.
You're right. 30 seconds for your gripe, Chris.
I don't know. I'll save it. It wasn't that good a one. I'm not going to gripe. I'm going to just say that it's been a pleasure to have everybody on the show today. You know, I'm upset for the Profar thing, but yeah. I'm excited about the Padres going 5-0 tonight. I will be out at the game. My first game of the year, Scraby, so I'm risking it, right? Because if they lose, everyone's going to blame me.
Yes, that is true.
We'll find out tomorrow. Sam Levitt's pregame show is next. Enjoy.